In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. This is a very important weekend and week in the life of our nation. Also in the church, because this weekend, people in all of our cathedrals, yesterday and today, will be ordained for Christian ministry as priests and deacons. So we pray for that at this important time. And do pray for all those who are involved in Christian leadership. I was struck by this gospel reading where it says, power went out of him. Even Jesus, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, power went out of him. And I can tell you that ministry costs. It costs. It costs all of us. And we need to pray for those who are in Christian leadership everywhere. Do pray for the election in France today. That wonderfully great nation, and on Thursday. I hope everybody votes. But do make it a matter of prayer to daily bring this before God. You know, people often say we only get the government that we deserve. And if you are prayerless in praying for the government, then think about that. So whoever leads this nation from Thursday, we will wake up to a new government on Friday morning. Do make it a matter of prayer daily this week as we move towards that. We heard some wonderfully good news this week, and that is that my son Sam has been selected for ordination. So bless him, he's just got married not that long ago. He's now a new dad, they've got a little baby. This afternoon we will be going into central London to a church in the city where Josiah, the baby, his little boy, will be baptised. And then Rebecca and Sam in September will be going to the University of Bristol, to Trinity College in Bristol, to train for Anglican ministry. So please, they will make that a matter of prayer. Notice that Jesus is by the lake and the crowds gather round him. Wherever the power of God is, there are crowds. Maybe that would be a question as to why so many churches are empty. Why perhaps has the Holy Spirit departed an awful lot of churches? Wherever the power of God is, I believe there should be crowds because they realize something's happening. Jesus gets out of the boat and Jairus comes to him desperate. He's a local pastor, leader of the synagogue. He's extremely well known. He is part of a community. His daughter, the daughter of Jairus, will be well known as well. Think about this first of all. You know, immediately he goes with him, with Jairus, despite the crowds. And that's important for anybody who is called to Christian ministry. And in one sense, that's all of us, because somebody said to me years ago, there's a huge danger, you know, Lyndon, in being involved in full-time ministry, that you can love crowds but not like people. You can be happy where there's a crowd but not like people. But here, Jesus, out of compassion, leaves the crowd and goes with somebody who's in desperate need, because his commitment wasn't just to the crowd, but to a person. And that's true of all of us as well, that every single one of us constantly to make time for one another and connect, as opposed to just passing people by. Maybe you've been coming here for years and there are a whole host of people you don't even know here, you don't even know their name, you've never had a conversation with them, you just pass like something in the night. But if our ministry and our Christianity is real, we must connect deeply with people. We're called to relationship. So Jesus leaves the crowd. He's concerned about a person. And of course, on the way, he gets wonderfully interrupted by this woman who has this hemological condition. She struggled it for 12 years and nothing has happened. She spent all of her money on welfare and healthcare, but nothing has happened. She's not healed. She continues with her disease, still part of her. And out of desperation, even though she should be excluded from the community because of this condition, according to the law, she decides nevertheless to go and try and touch the hem of his garment that she might be healed. I love that. She does just that. By the way, notice that Jesus is on his way because there's a guy who was the pastor of a local community called the synagogue. He gets interrupted. Somebody else said to me years ago, you know, if you're going to be involved in Christian ministry, be prepared to be interrupted. It's a life of constant interruption. You never know what's going to come next. Many of us put together our plans in our life and we think it's all very wonderfully ordered. This is how it's going to go, even for a day, even for a week, a month, a year, who knows? We've got it all organized. And then we get interrupted by something that comes our way and it maybe fills us with fear. All of a sudden, well, where did that come from? Interruption. But if you're involved in Christian ministry, and we all are, then be prepared constantly to be interrupted. I never know who's going to knock on my door at any time of night. And we're in a vulnerable place. We have young children there. I had a busy afternoon on Friday. I thought, great, the sunshine. I'm going to have a great afternoon, some space of my own. And then I get a phone call from Northwick Park Hospital because I'm chaplain there at the moment. The chief chaplain says, can you come immediately? There's somebody who's dying. They want you to come and anoint them. So I had to drop everything, change my clothes. I was shorts. I was going somewhere for an afternoon of fun. No, I had to go, willing to be interrupted. Great privilege to bless that dear lady, Doreen, as she came to her final moments of life. But it's good sometimes that things break into our life and cause us some concern because we begin to evaluate what we're really about. Be prepared to be interrupted. Because often we actually have got no control on our life at all, actually. What matters ultimately is whether or not our life is centered in God, because we have no control. We never know what's going to come next. What diagnosis? What relationship? What might happen to the family? Be prepared to be interrupted. And then she touches the hem of his garment. Power goes out of him. Who touched me? It might be the multitude and the throng, but only few will actually touch. There might be the throng, but only few of us really touch. Be aware of that. And Jesus turns and sees her. And he says to her, your faith has made you whole. Go and be healed of your disease. She took the risk to touch him. By the way, this is a classic example of something called a sacrament. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is a physical thing where faith comes to it and an event occurs. Physical thing, faith comes to it and something is changed. The hem of his garment, the woman's faith and the healing comes. A sacrament, got it? Physical thing, the hem of his garment, a person's faith. And there is change. Holy Communion, bread and wine, the presence of faith, transformation. Baptism, water, the presence of faith, and the beginning of the Christian journey. And there is a sense that every single one of us is a walking sacrament because we all of us, through Christ in us have the possibility of bringing change to one another and change to the world that we're part of. And this is what happens to her. She's wonderfully healed. And then, of course, they come and tell him the fact that Jairus' daughter is now dead. Bother the teacher no more. But no, he goes on. Because he's concerned for the person and not just the crowd. And he goes on. And by the way, when they get there, they're full of unbelief. They said, she's dead. And he said, no, she's just sleeping. And Jesus removes the unbelief from the family home. He gets it out of the way. He removes the unbelief. And there is just the family and a few disciples as he goes into the room. He removes the unbelief. Maybe one reason we don't see so much happen in our churches and we don't have a crowd here perhaps in the way that we'd like is because full of us perhaps are too much full of unbelief. And we need to confess it and let go of it and start believing. Start believing perhaps for the first time in my life. I've come to church but I don't really believe. It's time for you to believe. Jesus removed the unbelief in order for the miracle of healing to take place. And then he gets into the room and he says, Talitha kum. He holds her hand and he lifts her up. And there she is, fully recovered. Hands her back to the family. And he says to her, give her something to eat. You see, Christ is full of concern, not just for our healing, but our wholeness. He completes the story. Just to finish, I remember some years ago, long before I came here as priest, I came here on a Sunday night. And Christine Rablin was the priest at the time, and she was leading the service. And after the service, there was a lady called Gertie Merritt. Do you remember Gertie Merritt? She was from Germany, just lived up Malvern Avenue here, sadly now passed on. And Gertie said to me at the end of the service, would you pray for me? I've just been diagnosed with a very serious condition. And with Christine's permission, I said, of course I will pray for you. And as I began to pray for Gertie, something came back to me from my childhood, a wonderful little song that we used to sing in Sunday school that we would sing quite repeatedly. And it was about this story of the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. And it goes like this. I might have shared with this before. It says, reach out. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And I got Gertie to repeat that with me. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Some weeks later, Gertie rang me up and she said, I've had some wonderful news. Been to see the consultant. And the consultant today has given me a complete clean bill of health. Wonderful. And my heart rejoiced. Wonderful. Her situation was dire, very serious. But she'd been healed. You see, this is real. And so to finish today, I'd like us all to close our eyes, if you will. And maybe there is something today that is very much on your heart. A recent diagnosis, a problem, something with your family, I don't know, whatever. I want you to bring that before God now. Whatever it might be, a relationship, a concern, finance, a diagnosis. And I want you to visualize yourself reaching out and touching the hem of Christ's garment. reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy today to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I pray that the Lord will deliver you from your disease, whatever that might be, as we've reached out and touched him. And may we go from here today and do it again. Do it again. Reach out and touch the hem of his garment. It's a sacrament, a material thing. Faith brings healing. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you in assurance that you are present with us now. We do not have to seek your presence. We are daily living in your presence. Make us aware of it. Make it real to us. And help us in this moment of prayer to know that we are speaking to one who is near and not far off, whose love is all around us, and who knows every need of everyone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, we give thanks for the many blessings of this life, for health, strength, and all our powers of body and mind, for our homes and our loved ones, and for the wonderful joys of friendship, for our work and opportunity of service, for the beauty and bounty of the world of nature, for kindness, generosity, sympathy shown to us by so many along life's journey. Give us thankful hearts, O God, for all your goodness, and help us to show love to others around us. For the sake of him who came not to be served, but to serve, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for our church, St. Andrew's. Pray for Lyndon and Barbara for their ministry here, that they will continue to be directed and guided by your Spirit. And pray also that each of us will make use of our individual talents to enable and enrich the growth of our church and the wider parish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As our country is now preparing for the general election, we reflect on the significance of this event and the impact on daily lives. We pray for our government in the time of waiting and the change to come, for the leaders of the parties who have put themselves forward as our next prime minister, for openness, honesty, integrity, and wisdom. For all who are standing as candidates to be members of the parliament, for an understanding of the real need of their constituencies, and for the commitment to serve wholeheartedly. For those whose role is to manage our voting system, for local authorities, returning officers, their staff, and volunteers, for those of us who have the responsibility of voting, for careful consideration, discernment, and openness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for the work and service of all care homes and day centers for elderly and sick people, and for those carers who look after family and friends in their own home. And we thank you for many charity organizations who raise money and provide supportive services to help. We pray for all the family, their lives, and painful, lonely or uncertain, especially those who are ill or vulnerable. You remember this morning our list in Starlink. You remember Judith Broughton, Elizabeth Bello, Elizabeth Brown, Robinson and Robina Insiri, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, and Angela Zuduren. Help them to sense your comfort in times of need and bless their families and carers. We pray for all those who are struggling in their lives. Bring them hope of an end to their suffering and the resolution of their difficulties. Lord, show us the best way to show those who suffer without being intrusive or simply turning away from their pain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, your love reaches beyond the grave. At the end of our days on earth, be with us and all those we love. May those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. We remember those who died, and we pray for all whose life is saddened by the death of the loved one. We remember, be with them in their loneliness. We pray, remember with thanksgiving the anniversary of Gwendolyn George and Edmund Wood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Everlasting God, we pray for ourselves as we go from this church today to start the week ahead. We ask that in all we do, we work more closely with you at our side, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.